Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
It is The Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my main man, Rob Parker. And as always, we are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Make sure you visit geico.com and get yourself a free rate quote. Of course, you can always follow us on Twitter as well. And don't be afraid to tweet us during the show. Yours truly is at Chris_Broussard. And my partner is at RobParkerFS1. We've got several guests in for you today. Drew Bledsoe is in at 4:30. And if you remember yesterday's conversation, it was all about who's better.
Finally,
Brady or Aaron Rodgers. It'd be great to hear Drew Bledsoe's opinion.
Finally, he could expose Tom Brady today. That's my hope. No, whatever.
I keep hoping.
What's the chance for that?
Keep hope alive, right? Keep hope alive. And then in the second hour of the show, Byron Scott. Three-time NBA champion, former teammate of Magic Johnson, the president of Los Angeles Lakers, and a good friend of Magic. So he may have some insight. He'll have some good things to say, maybe about the Luke Walton situation, LeBron James, and all of that.
And so, took the Nets to the NBA Finals 2 years in a row.
Yep, that's right.
People forget about that.
He did a great job with that team. Should have been coach of the year one of those years.
I don't know how he wasn't, seriously. I know they had Jason Kidd.
And
he said
he should be coach of the year.
I remember that.
Yeah, but he was right. He should have been. One executive in the league that's worked with Byron, he told me Byron Scott is the most confident person he's ever met.
Okay, I got it. If you know Byron, like I
know Byron fairly well. Like, you know, he's been fired several times, and players, like when he got fired in Jersey, players came out and said all this and that.
Right, ripped on him.
His confidence in himself never wanes. Never. And that's a great trait to have.
It is. It is good to be confident, but also there comes a point, too, where sometimes you have to look at your shortcomings as well and acknowledge them. I'm not saying give in to them, Chris.
Right.
Difference between giving in to them and at least acknowledging that maybe I didn't handle that right. Maybe I need to do something different.
Agreed.
I can respect one of these days I'll get into a story about Lou Piniella, but Lou Piniella was that guy, strong, fiery guy.
Right.
But one day I wrote a story that he didn't like, and a week later he came back and acknowledged that, you know what, he has to do something different. I had a lot of respect for him.
Yep.
Because he didn't have to do that.
Right. And Byron I'm not saying he doesn't look at his shortcomings, but I just know he's described to me as about the most confident person you'd ever meet.
Is that the word they use, or do they use another word?
No, they use confident. It was confident. So, don't be starting nothing.
I'm not starting anything.
I know it's a trash talking Tuesday.
You already know. No. It's trash talking Tuesday. That's right.
As long as you don't go into a rendition of the Golden Girls,
we're good. That's Thursday.
I think the video went to your head.
Oh, I love that video.
You actually think you can sing, and you know, you've been telling me about that video every day.
That video
you
and is Aerie awesome. Spears. Oh man, we're gonna be linked forever. But trash talking Tuesday later on in the program. Your chance to trash anyone, anything in the world of sports. So you'll be able to do that. Come hard, strong, and fast. You got about 30 seconds. And we'll let you have your say. We don't interrupt you. We let you trash whoever, whatever you want. But, Chris, we're going to get ready to start the show. First, we'll introduce, of course, as always, we wouldn't be able to do this fine radio program without him, the Odd Couple crew. Rob G., our producer. Alex, our engineer. Deb Carson, of course, the sports anchor. Sheila, keep us up to date throughout the program, what's going on in the world of sports. Our intern, Sean, and Elijah, he's in here recording, videotaping. I know it's not videotape because it's not tape.
Periscope, YouTube, all Instagram, that. Facebook Live, and wherever you catch live
he's
video.
He's the one who put together that rendition of the Golden Girls, which just went viral. It just was
Did
everywhere.
It go viral?
Or is that a generous description?
All right, man. I don't know if that was me you were dissing.
No, that's just because he thought it went viral and did not.
Okay.
All right, maybe it didn't go viral. It went.
You loose with your descriptions, man.
It didn't go viral. It went virus. It went virus. How's that? Okay, not that. I'm trying. What do you want me to do?
No rim shot on that one. Now that I know it's a rim shot, I'm going to be using it all the time.
Thank you.
Oh, you got it right now.
Right. Right.
All right. Well,
so Chris, they're all in full effect on the other side of the glass. Let's kick some ass on this trash talk.
I thought
Tuesday.
That was going to be the day you said it in rhythm. I thought that was going to be the day
close.
You got it. It was. You had it at first.
We'll get there.
And then you blew it. But anyway.
Is this your pad?
I know
not?
What
Whose
you meant.
Pad is
That's my pad.
Okay.
That's my pad.
Can it go on your side of the
okay, I'm sorry.
Console, please?
I'm sorry. All right, look. Dallas Cowboys.
That
we watched
that debauchery
them
last night.
That was a mess. 28-14 loss to the struggling, I guess, or middling Tennessee Titans. After a bye, both teams had a bye, but still, Dallas looked atrocious. And Troy Aikman, Hall of Fame quarterback, three-time Super Bowl champion.
Who won three Super Bowls wearing that Cowboys uniform.
Yep.
And is beloved, a part of one of the all-time great teams in the NFL. They won 3 out of 4.
That is one of, you're
oh,
right.
No doubt
one
about
of the,
it. All,
one of the greatest teams in NFL history. He comes out, and I give him credit because he didn't mince words. He said that there need to be major organizational changes in Dallas. Here's Troy Aikman.
This team over a long period of time has been what it's been. And it hasn't always mattered who the head coach has been. And so to me, if you're asking me, I'd say there has to be a complete overhaul of the entire organization. You just can't simply replace head coaches and say, now it's going to be better. No, it's been shown that it's not better. I've heard Jerry say, okay, look, we're going to do it differently. I'm going to do it differently. You know, I can no longer, but it's the same. Nothing changes.
Look, the bottom line.
What a nice, honest take.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, he could have went further and said, Jerry needs to sell the team.
But that ain't going to happen.
Jerry's not a problem. No, that's not realistic.
That thing is worth a few billion dollars. I just think that's not going to happen.
That's not realistic.
It's just not.
But Jerry, at the very least, needs to turn over the GM duty. Actually, the first step, Rob, first step before that is to fire Jason Garrett. And I'm not one that likes to call for coaches' jobs. But come on. What are we waiting for? I mean, if you want to give him the end of the year and basically this year is a wash, it's over, you're not making the playoffs, you're not making any noise, okay. But Jason Garrett is not the guy that should be coaching America's team, in air quotes. I put that in air quotes because I don't think they're America's team anymore.
I told you they're South America's team because their record is usually under 500.
Right. I like that.
You like that? South America's team.
That was my rim shot. Then Alex didn't like it.
There we go. He didn't like it. But anyway, first of all, Jerry Jones runs it like a mom and pop store. His son
right.
is a VP. And whenever you got a family running, it's not a family business. Go get you football people. The reason that Jimmy Johnson couldn't do it no more, right? The reason Bill Parcells couldn't do it anymore
right.
is because he wants to be metal. He wants to do stuff. You hire people, delegate them to do their jobs. The reason that Jason Garrett isn't going anywhere is go look at the list of coaches that he's had other than Parcells the last, five,
Jason
six.
Jason Garrett, Wade Phillips, Bill Parcells, Dave Campo. Is that it?
Yeah, Dave Campo. And there was another guy, right? Who's the other guy?
Chan Gailey.
Chan Gailey. Look at the motley crew of coaches.
Yep. Parcells was the only
guy who stood up to him. Right.
Yeah. And then he didn't last very long.
No, but that's the problem. And I'd say this. If you're a anti-Dallas Cowboy fan, you should be loving every minute of this.
Yeah, I'm sure
you should hope that Jerry Jones lives a long, prosperous life, and because he'll never give it up. I don't believe it.
And I don't blame him for not giving it up. It's your baby. You don't.
But the only problem is,
but hire some football people. Get your son out of there. Give your son a consultant job.
Just give him money.
Where he's got a title and he's doing nothing.
Exactly.
And let some football people run this team. This is 23 years now.
Are you ready? since they won the Super Bowl in 95, 21 years, Chris, they're 2-8 in the postseason. That's all they are. In 21 years.
Two playoff wins in 21 years.
That's it. That's all they have.
I mean, come on. And it's terrible.
And it's not a shock that once Jimmy Johnson, like, remember, even though I know Barry Switzer won that, but that was with Jimmy Johnson's team. You know, yeah. It was already in place. And Switzer just had to be a babysitter. But once that was over,
That was it.
And he still thinks that he was a part of that, that he was the guy. I'll give you this. Has he gotten some good players along the way? Yes, he has.
They have had a lot of all-pros.
Okay.
And that is a...
But it hasn't translated into wins.
No,
and
no.
That's... What do I always say, Chris? Pro sports has a short menu. It's wins and losses.
That's what
it's
I told
nothing
you
else.
In the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady debate.
No, that's something
that's
different.
That's what I told you. And you,
we're not
you,
talking
you
about
agreed.
That. I'm not
I
agreeing
know,
with that.
I know. But you're right. Wins and losses. And that's what, look, Jerry Jones, I'm looking up the stat right now, but he has gotten a lot of all pros. So if you want to try to make the argument.
Yeah, but the other part,
that
too.
They get talent.
They get talent.
They get talent.
But they also get top picks because they're not in the playoffs. They also
true. Very true.
Do you know what I mean? So when you usually get good teams, don't always get those players because they're already gone. Do you know what I mean when you're drafting?
Here it is. They've had 67 Pro Bowlers since 2002. Okay? That's the most in the NFL over that span.
No doubt.
So if you want to argue they've got talent, then why are you a mediocre team at best?
But they have
coaching? Then get rid of Jason Garrett. I wouldn't look. If Jerry hired a new coach and gave him power, let him coach the team with his talent, then I would buy that as a Cowboys fan for a year or two, see what it does. And then if that doesn't work, then Jerry has to give up. I would think he won't do it, but give up his GM spot.
Not going to happen.
Give up his president.
I just
like,
don't.
Let a football guy come in.
He played
and
football.
Make those.
This is his baby.
That don't mean.
I know.
Basketball. That don't mean I can run an NBA team.
I'm just saying. But you don't also have a $2 billion franchise that whatever it's worth.
No,
what
I get
now?
His ego, but he's not. What qualifies him to run this team?
Nothing. And that's the problem. We've seen this with owners before.
Al Davis.
But Al Davis, he won early and then the
same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. He's
yeah,
Al
they
Davis.
Have a very similar. And when you get, once you've won and you think that I'm going to win again, and that's the whole thing, he just still believes that the magic is going to come back. But the results, again, since 95, since they won that Super Bowl, 2-8 in the postseason, which is not impressive. They're not America's team.
No.
People watch for the train wreck. Last night was an embarrassing train wreck because they went out and got Amari Cooper. They gave up a first-round pick. Hey, this is going to fix Dak. This is going to – and then he throws a touchdown to Amari. I got it. 7-0 Cowboys. Whoa, it's a home game after a bye. Yep. All the stuff is stacked up for the Cowboys. Tennessee's not that good. Mariota's not that good. This was supposed to be a win. No points in the second half. He threw a terrible pick. Did you see the pick that he threw? Terrible. And what was that? Quadruple coverage, triple coverage, whatever you want
to
say.
You're in a bad division.
Right.
You're in a bad – sorry to your Philadelphia Eagles.
That's all right. They're going to win the bad division, and then they're going to repeat as Super Bowl champs.
I don't know about that.
Just remember I told you.
You're just hoping they get into the postseason.
They are going to get there.
Jacksonville's not getting into the postseason.
Yes, they are. The season's not over for Jacksonville.
You're going to have two picks. At least I picked the Patriots. They get into the Super Bowl.
No, they're not. Stop.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We'll ask Byron Scott about this. Byron, how you doing, man? Welcome to The Odd Couple.
What's up, Chris? How you doing?
It's great to have you
What's
on,
up,
man. I'm
Byron?
Good. I'm good. Look.
What's up, Rob?
All good.
Byron, I predicted 53 wins and LeBron would be MVP.
Put that crack pipe down.
Neither one of those is looking like it's going to be true. What do you make so far of this Lakers start? 4-6, defense is atrocious, half-court offense looks a mess.
Three-point
shooting's
not great.
Was this just to be expected when LeBron starts off with a new team? Or is there reason for Lakers fans to be concerned?
You know what, Chris? I expected it to be a slow start, to be honest with you. And I predicted LeBron getting MVP and they winning 50 games. So I think all three of us right now are in jeopardy, but I still feel good about where they're headed. I think, you know, defensively, they obviously have a whole lot of work to do. But when you put together a brand-new squad and you bring in some of the pieces that they've brought in, defense is always going to be the last thing to kind of catch up. So the offense is always the easiest thing. So I think that the way Luke right now is experimenting with different lineups and rotations, the only thing excuse me, that I'm concerned about is that you still haven't figured that out, because you have to figure that out sooner or later, because you're in the Western Conference. So 10 games to me, 4-6 right now. Hopefully you've gotten a rotation figured out, because you can't try this and experiment for 20 games in the West, because then you're just so far back that you're going to have to win 10, 15 in a row or something like that. And that's hard to do when you got Golden State and Houston and teams like that in the Western Conference. So I'm not surprised by the slow start. I think our fans continuously have to be optimistic, and you have to give this team some time, and patience has to be a virtue right now.
But Byron, if that's the case, then why is Magic yelling at Luke Walton about the team and putting them on notice? I mean, I know he says he's going to be here for the rest of the year, unless something happens, of course, you know. But what was all that then? If everybody knows LeBron struggles when he first comes in, you put together a new roster trying to get it together, it's only 10 games. Why did Magic do what he did?
I don't know exactly why, but you guys know Irvin. He's a winner, and he expects to win. And maybe his patience is broken. I don't know, but I think also to kind of put him on notice, him being Luke and the coaching staff, and some of the players as well. You know, they have to understand and listen. Some energy right there, that every single game has to be that, you know, that sense of urgency, that we have to start playing a lot better on both ends of the floor, or some things might happen that we don't expect. You know, so I don't think he wants to feel comfortable. Let everybody understand that everybody could be in jeopardy if this thing doesn't turn around quicker or sooner than later.
And the other part, too, and you know this, there's a difference between you being hired by Magic and Rob Pelinka and not being hired, right? Because they're not really tied to him. Even if the owner likes him and Jeannie Buss or whatever, he's not their guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think every, you know, coach understands that when you're in a situation like this, when the new heads of the organization come in, like Magic and Rob Pelinka, to take over, you know, they didn't choose you. You know, so basically you got to prove it to them that you're worthy of that position. And you're basically going to have to do it almost every game. You know, so I think Luke understands that. Even though he's a young coach, he understands that, you know, Magic Johnson is a different dude, you know, and he's used to winning. And he's won everywhere he's been and everything he's done. So, you know, with him watching you and overseeing everything, you got to make sure that you got your P's and Q's in order, and you have to make sure you prove it to him that you are not only worthy of the position, but you are the best man for the position.
Byron, LeBron, he's obviously putting up good numbers, 27 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds.
Play some defense, Bron!
He hasn't played. Now, he's played well and at an all-NBA level, but not up to the standards that we all have for LeBron James. Do you think this is just a slow start, or do you think this is really the beginnings of Father Time starting to catch up with him, and he's not going to be the best player in the world anymore?
28-7-7, if that's a slow start, man, that's a pretty damn good slow start. You
Our
know what I mean?
Our standards are high for him.
Yeah, right. I mean, Chris, you know, on anybody else in this league that was doing that, we'd be talking about him as the MVP. But, you know, he's just on a different level. I mean, he's been on this level for a number of years. So I don't see the decline of LeBron James right now. I still see him playing at a very high level. I see him still trying to fit in, like you said, and you guys hit it on the head earlier. Every team that he's joined has gotten off to slow starts. So I think it's obviously a matter of time before they figure it out. But in the West, you just got to figure it out sooner than later, because you don't want to fall, you know, 15, 20 games out of it. And then, you're trying to fight that uphill battle all season long, which is going to take an unbelievable amount of energy out of those guys.
It's the Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. Byron Scott, 3-time NBA champion, former NBA Coach of the Year, joining us. When we talk about the younger players and some of the veterans, Should Lonzo Ball just stay in and be the starting point guard, even though Rondo's played better than him? Or is this just to find out really what Lonzo is? And I know Rondo's playing more minutes, but do you know, Byron, should he just leave him in there? Let's see what this guy has, if he really fits in, works with LeBron, or do you just play the best player who is on the roster and should start if it's Rondo? Which way would you go?
Well, if it was me, I think I would have started Lonzo. You know, this is a guy that's going to be there, you hope, for 10 years. He's one of the future, you know, members of this franchise that can, you know, take it to a different level as well. I don't know if his confidence level is low or not right now because of the injuries and because of the fact that he's not playing a ton of minutes like I think he expected to. But you know what? Sometimes challenges like that, you know, is going to make or break a player as well. You want to find out what that guy has, you know, underneath that jersey. But I would have definitely stuck with him and started him and put him in there with LeBron and those guys just to see what he can do. Because you know, at the end of the day, you know, down the line, if you want to bring in Rondo and start him as you get closer to the playoffs because of the experience that he brings, and like you said, he's just playing great basketball right now. Then you can do that. But right now, to me, I would have had, you know, Lonzo Ball in there.
Byron, moving on just to the rest of the league, Rob and I were talking before we got you on, and I was saying, when I'm watching these games, never in my life, and of all my years watching the NBA, have I seen it so easy to get to the rim.
Oh.
Am I mistaken, or do you see the same thing? I mean, I was talking to a former NBA player. He was telling me he doesn't know if you can guard today because the floor is so spread and the rules now, like, they just want offense and they've made it very hard for guys to defend. Nobody's in the paint. Nobody's protecting the rim. Nobody's posting. What do you think of what we see so far?
Well, you know what, Chris? I went to the Toronto game the other night, and I've never seen so many dunks and layups in the first half.
Right.
And I was sitting there just kind of shaking my head. And it seems like it's just too easy, you know, to get to the rim nowadays. And I'm still from that school of you got to protect inside out, you know. I still rather guys shoot contested twos and contested threes outside that paint because the percentages when you get in that paint just goes up dramatically when you're shooting layups and you're getting dunks than it is when you're shooting threes. But I know this league has been made into, you know, you're either getting layups and dunks or you're shooting threes, and that's what's bringing up all these high numbers
right,
from an offensive standpoint. But I still have a problem with, you know, hey, if you're on the weak side, foot in the paint, I don't care who you guarding out there, you know, and I'm going to get to him the best I can and force him to shoot contested jump shots because, you know, as many jump shots have been shot in the game today, there's going to be a lot of long rebounds too, you know, so you got to box out as well. But I've never seen so many guys that have been able to get to the rim with not one or two dribbles. I mean, four or five
dribbles.
Right. And they're getting there and help us not get there.
Now, when you played, you were a great shooter and had the athleticism, obviously could get to the rim, run the floor and stuff too. Do you ever just sit back and let yourself daydream like, man, if I played in this NBA, what my numbers would look like?
Ooh, man. Every now and then I said, man, that purple and gold that we had, Pat Riley, you know, would allow us to shoot the type of threes that Golden State are shooting. I do look back at times and say, man, that would have been fun, you know, number one. And we average a pretty good amount of points, you know, period, on the offensive end. But if you can just throw it, you know, shooting 30, you know, shoot almost every third shot being a three, it would have been crazy.
Byron, I'm with you about that Toronto game with all the dunks and layups and all the stuff that was going on. It was so crazy. I was expecting somebody to throw a bucket of confetti over somebody's head because it felt like the Globetrotters. That's what it was. What is this?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was sitting there. First of all, I was disappointed that Kawhi Leonard didn't play.
Right.
And I'm looking at it from the Lakers standpoint. Maybe that was a little bit of a letdown. And you combine that with the back-to-back. You know, but again, it's still no excuse, you know, for the way these guys were getting from, you know, three-point line, you know, two or three dribbles. Nobody's at the nail to help, and they're getting, you know, layups and dunks. And, you know, I was sitting up there, and I was sitting in about the 10th row, and I had a little boy behind me that was about 12 years old. in the first quarter when it was 40-something to, like, 13. He was like, this is embarrassing. I was like, oh, my God.
Just, a 12-year-old. Not, not, not
wow. A 12-year-old.
Right.
And he was saying it to his dad, and I couldn't turn around and say that. I just shook my head. I was like, wow.
What,
but, I mean, the way they were getting to the basket was kind of bad. And I know it's something, again, defense is always late. Tyson Chandler is a great pickup. I love Tyson. I coach Tyson defensively. That's his specialty, especially on the communication side. I think he will help that second unit tremendously.
Byron, quickly, we got about 30 seconds left. Is there a threshold? Like, do we have to worry when we look at the NBA game that it doesn't just become all three-pointers and dunks or layups? Like, do you think there is a place where that would become – like, I look at the All-Star game, which I can't even watch anymore.
They're going to score 200 points, almost 200 points.
Like, is there – I mean, you know, do you think that's something that the league just has to watch, that they don't completely eliminate the mid-range game and stuff like that?
I think so. Some of our best players, you know, Rip Hamilton, to me, was the best mid-range guy in the league. I mean, he came off singles and doubles, and he was knocking those things down on a regular basis. And I would hope that they wouldn't eliminate that. Because, again, I mean, being able to get to the basket, you know, 2-3 dribble pull-ups at that mid-range game, that's still a skill. And I think for guys that can just catch and shoot from three-point line, our guys that can just post up, which is kind of going away as well, and all our post-up guys are, seems like they're 6'8" and under. You know, the big man is not, you know, posting up like they used to back in the day. And I think the NBA does have to watch it, that it doesn't get out of control with, you know, every shot or every other shot being a three-point attempt in this league. Because then I think the beauty of the game is starting to disappear.
All right, Byron, all right, we appreciate it. Great stuff.
Appreciate you.
Always, guys, anytime.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Jerry Jones in the news, as always. His Dallas Cowboys are a mess. 3-5 after last night's embarrassing loss to the Tennessee Titans. Yeah, I said it was embarrassing because they were coming off a bye week and they just looked uninspired. And, but after that,
and they got their big new receiver, right?
Amari Cooper.
I mean, star receiver.
I wasn't expecting that much. Were you?
No. But I'm just saying. But that was supposed to help Dak out. That's all I heard.
Well, this is where we're going,
right? Dak. It was supposed to help Dak out.
Jerry Jones said Dak is getting an extension. He's young. He's getting an extension. He didn't use these words. He's our quarterback of the future. But that's to some degree what he was saying. And I want to ask you, Rob Parker, would you keep Dak Prescott as your quarterback of the future if you're the Dallas Cowboys? Let me tell you where he's ranked in passing. 27th. 27th. His QBR is 88.9. Pretty low. He's in the bottom half of the league.
So what's the question? Ask me the question again.
Is he your franchise quarterback going forward if you're running the Dallas Cowboys?
No way, no how. I think people can like Dak, and that's fine. It's not a popularity contest. It's not about what a good guy you are. It's about production. And the first year, even with the 13-3 and everybody, oh, they got him there, fourth round, they diamond in the rough. They had the great offensive line. They had the great running back. Ezekiel Elliott had a great rookie year, right? And Dak was a, you know, no, don't throw the ball too far. Don't make any big mistakes. He didn't make any mistakes.
But
and it worked out for him.
Year.
No, I'm not. I'm
he,
saying.
He had a very
it worked out for him.
Year.
That's what I'm saying. No. I'm not taking that away.
Right.
But Chris, Exhibit A is the last 2 years. And Exhibit A is not good enough. And they came into the game averaging 20 points a game. They only scored 14. None in the second half at home. It's a huge game. The NFC East is up for grabs. Tennessee is not that good. Mariota's not that good. It was prime for the Cowboys to get even at 4-4, right?
Yep.
And start a run where they could win the division. That's really what was on the line last night. And Dak, it was a no-show. He threw a horrendous pick in triple, quadruple coverage, whatever you want to call it. It was just a bad decision. So much so that the biggest Cowboy fan in the media, Skip Bayless, Skip Bayless, go to his Instagram. Go check it out. I was stunned.
He has been championing Dak Prescott
since day one.
Yep.
I could not believe when I saw, and I was on Undisputed with Skip and Shannon this morning, and when he showed his Instagram on the show, and they showed it of him throwing his Dak Prescott jersey in the garbage in the kitchen.
He's done with it.
And his hat and his Dallas Cowboy hat. I could not believe it.
I've never seen Skip
give in on anybody, right?
On any of his guys. You know, one way or the other. You know?
If he's with you, he's with you.
Yep.
If he's against you.
And he stays against you.
Exactly.
Generally. This is the first time he's flip-flopped. And look, I'll say this. Dak Prescott, here's the thing with the Cowboys. He's eligible for an extension this summer. But you don't have to extend him. You can still play out another year. And then if you want, you can franchise tag him. Like, they don't have to make a decision right away. You got time to watch him and see if he grows and develops, particularly as you brought up with Amari Cooper. Now he's got a decent receiver, number one.
And he threw Cooper a touchdown in first quarter.
Let's see how he develops. You can do that, but he is not a franchise quarterback. What Dak Prescott is to me is a game manager who has the ability to make plays with his legs. Most game managers don't have that ability. He does have that. And I will say this about him. If you have greatness around him, all around him, you can win with him. I think he can be a guy that doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He's
but
smart.
But they don't have that roster. That's not the roster that
they
have.
They don't have that roster.
Not enough to be able to take and conceal and hide his shortcomings.
No.
And that's what you're talking about when you have like a great defense and you have some other star players and all the quarterback don't make the big mistake.
Right.
If you don't make the big mistake, we're good. Just don't give it to the other team. Don't throw an interception.
Right.
Don't fumble. Just don't make the big mistake. And that's not where Dak is. Teams know. And who do we have on the other day? Rod Woodson, who said, well, you know what you're going to get. 175 yards, maybe 200, touchdown or two, maybe a pick.
Four of his eight games this year, he's failed to throw for 200 yards. Today's NFL.
And hasn't thrown for 300 yards
game. No, his season high is 273. He's never thrown more than two touchdowns in a game this season. I mean, he's pedestrian. And here's the thing. Even though I said, look, if I'm stacked around him, I can win. Here's the thing, Rob. Nobody wants to build, like, you don't keep a manager. A manager doesn't stay for 5-10 years like a franchise quarterback.
No, no, no.
You make do with a manager.
You make do, and sometimes you can win.
Yeah, every blue moon
and then you move on. Right, you can win
a Super Bowl, but you do move on. It's not like you just keep that guy.
You know you got away with it. You know what I'm saying? He did what he had to do.
Right.
We saw that with Brad Johnson. With Tampa, and
Trent
we saw
Dilfer.
It with Trent Dilfer with Baltimore.
Yep.
Baltimore had, like, statistically the best defense in the history of the NFL. They won a Super Bowl, and all he did was not make any mistakes.
Right.
We saw Tampa Bay. If you remember that Super Bowl, it was the number one offense, the Raiders, against the number one defense. The defense scored, if I remember correctly, as many or more points than the Raiders. The defense ran back, like, three touchdowns.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It was ridiculous.
Right, right. And so here's the question. If that's the case, would you extend Dak? And again, I'll give him some grace. I want to watch him the rest of the season, maybe even next season or whatever. But right now, at this point, with what Dak Prescott is, I'm looking for another quarterback.
I agree
Why
with you.
Why extend him?
I agree.
Even if it's a discount.
I wouldn't want him at a discount. You know, sometimes there's a discounted rack. And Chris, you look at it and go, even at that price, you don't want it, right?
Yeah.
You look at, 75% off, and you go, nah, I don't want it.
Here's the problem, too, with getting Dak at a discount. If you bring in another quarterback, if you get a guy that's ahead of him, you draft somebody or whatever, and Dak is still there because of his history, that great rookie year, and what he's done since, which isn't much, but still, just his name and all that, it's always going to be a little controversy. Because if the guy in front of him struggles, as he likely would as a rookie,
right,
then there's always going to be that, let's see what Dak can do. Let's go to Dak. So you almost have to cut bait once you make your decision. And I'm not mad at Jerry for, look, you got time. You don't have a viable replacement right now. So you just string it along. You don't have to make a decision this summer like people think you do, but you don't. And string them along until you get another guy. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Give us a call and let us know what you think about Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, no, I'm done. I'm convinced that he's not that guy. If you remember, Jerry Jones came late to the party, even on Dak, but I didn't think it was because he didn't believe in him. I just think he loved Tony Romo so much, you know what I mean, that he hated to
right.
not have Romo as the starting quarterback. Because Dak's rookie year was hard to argue that he should have been playing. You know what I mean?
One like, thing based about off of that. Jerry, and this is something you like, he's loyal.
Right, but loyal to a fault. You got
to
sometimes, you know, wake up and say, I get it, I like him, but he's not playing. And football, of all sports, is about one of those level playing fields. The best people play.
Yep.
It's just that simple. And the players know who deserves to play. So you can't pull the wool or put a guy in who doesn't deserve to play.
No, you know, you're not wrong about that. And if you look at the standings right now in the NFL, all the top teams have something in common, a franchise quarterback.
And all teams are always trying to get a franchise quarterback. Yep. That's you no matter how good your defense is, Chris, no matter how good your offensive line or whatever, you just know to yourself, you need a quarterback. Very few teams. I can name teams that have won, haven't won with great running backs and haven't won with great receiving, all kinds of stuff. But I can't find that many who haven't won without having a really good quarter, without having a great quarterback, unless it's something special like Baltimore or Tampa Bay. Those are anomalies. That happens every so often.
Right.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.